Michael, and this is First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is the Hall of Famer, Chris
Carter.
Good morning,
Carter.
That is Nick Wright. Guys are good today?
Absolutely.
It is Thursday. It is almost Friday. Then it's the weekend. We've got a good 4 days I just mapped out for us. We got a great 3 hours ahead for us.
We got a great 3 hours. Our prep, our people got us ready. They were all playing video games, getting stats and stuff off the video
games. So much was done before you even got here. See, they could chill right before showtime.
Why don't we start with this? With the Patriots about to win their 10th straight AFC East title, Tom Brady at age 41 is defining the odds. And just for the record, guys, I do not think 41 is old, obviously. But while Brady's still on pace for 28 touchdowns, his statistics might not line up with other quarterbacks in this heightened year of offensive prowess. And one Hall of Famer has noticed. Warren Moon said in an interview that the numbers are starting to show that there's a deterioration coming. See, I'll start with you. You know Moon well. What do you make of what he had to say?
Well, Warren Moon, he's truly one of the few people that has the type of credibility to be able to. Yeah, everyone's going to be analyzing Tom Brady. But the reason why I say Warren Moon is because he's one of the few players that had success in this league at an advanced age. I did play a couple years with him in the 90s. He taught me so much about football, brilliant football. But to me, we talk about Cam Newton. Cam Newton has a body like we've never seen. But Warren Moon has the best body. I'm talking about arms, legs, brain of any quarterback in the history of this game. Warren was a great athlete, but he was a pocket passer. He started off playing 6 years in the CFL, started 94 games before he went on to a 17-year NFL career. So he was a starting quarterback at 42. He started 10 games. So I wanted to start it with that. And what Warren points out is most quarterbacks, they don't lose their fastball by being able to throw. They lose their fastball by because their legs fail them. Dan Marino, John Elway, those are two of the quarterbacks. The reason why they stopped playing was because their legs. They had too many leg problems. And that little 3x3 box that you have to master in the pocket as a quarterback, when you lose that ability, people start getting closer to you. So that's what Warren is starting to talk about. All the years and years of all those thousands and thousands of dropbacks in the pocket, all those days and days of practicing, your legs take a pounding as a quarterback. And that's what he's referring to as far as what he's seeing with Tom right now.
See, when you were first retired and you were doing Inside the NFL with Dan Marino, in that moment, Marino had been retired a few years at that point. How many people on earth had a better arm than Dan Marino?
It was still Aaron Rodgers. We hadn't discovered him yet, right. So Dan was still the best. Matter of fact, I don't know where Dan is right now. Dan can hit you on the deep out right now.
And so why? But at the end, for Dan Marino, he didn't look like Dan Marino anymore. But you're saying he still had the arm. Why didn't he?
Because his legs failed him, and people don't realize that it's no different than having a great house. You can have a roof, man, you can have side paneling, you can have all the stuff inside, but if that foundation, and once that foundation begins to crack, it's hard to throw the football and throw it effectively.
A quarterback's arm, like Peyton Manning is the exception here, because his arm failed him, but that was because he had the nerves, and like he had the neck injury.
And I would say Peyton never had a big, big arm. It was probably going to be his arm that went first. He doesn't have one of the biggest arms that we've ever seen playing the game.
But the point that, like, this is the arm being the last to go, it's like a shooter in the NBA. Like, Reggie Miller to this day can go out there and hit 80% unguarded from three, but the rest of his body went on him. And so that's what Warren Moon's talking about, and that is what we're seeing. Like, where Brady is this year, he's 14th in league in rating. He's 11th in touchdowns. He's 12th in yards per attempt. He's 18th in completion percentage. What we are baking in is that he will be able to channel it in the postseason, in the biggest moments. And what we know, we don't even have to bake in, is we know some guys, the all-time greats in the biggest moments just stay the same. Most guys in the biggest moments get worse. The guys that are in the truly special all-time greats in the biggest moments actually get even better. That's what Brady has been. And we've seen him in the Super Bowls or in the AFC Championship game late. We've seen him have those moments. But I totally understand what Warren Moon's talking about, because Tom Brady throughout his career has been one of the most mobile quarterbacks in football. Just mobile in the pocket, stepping up,
and not
stepping
a great
back.
Athlete.
No, but
the mobility right in that pocket.
And so if that does go, that's where you see really that's what happened on that sack before the half. He was unable to step up and throw it away. The rush came to him, and he went down because in the past, I think he could have stepped up before the half or stepped up into the pocket and thrown it out the back of the end zone.
Warren Moon actually said a number of interesting things. One of them, I don't think you fall off a cliff, but it's gradual. And once that gradual decline starts, there's no turning back from it. It's a very slight but decline. Are we at the beginning of his gradual decline? Are we sort of in the middle of it? Are we starting to even see it? Where are we with Tom Brady?
That part is hard because, Tom, we've never had anyone like him. And also, we can't forget the Super Bowl. We can't forget what he did late in that game. We can't forget that. Now, we do have this season, but for most people, they thought over the last 2 years this was going to happen. It's going to happen. Like, Father Time is undefeated. I felt like last year, Jenna, when we were watching Tom versus Time, one of the things you and I were most intrigued about was the things that Tom was doing surrounding the pass rush, how he was avoiding people. And you're like, why is he working on that? Because that's the part that he's going to need. And watching the Miami game and is watching the last couple games, when people get close to Tom, he's not as accurate as he has been. So, yes, I believe that the time, it is there, the deterioration. Does that mean he can't win a Super Bowl? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it means is Gronk becomes more important. Edelman becomes more important. Josh Gordon becomes more important. And that offensive line, Bill, to give him just that little bit of extra time. And it becomes important, too, for them to be able to play at home and not play catch-up. All right? This is not the type of team where Tom Brady is. If I'm the Pats, that I want to be able to get behind and try to track teams down.
Well, here's what's so confusing about Brady, and you guys have heard me say this before. His career made sense until 4 years ago because we saw the decline. In 2010, he had arguably the best year he's ever had aside from the undefeated year. They're 14-2. He has a 111 rating. The next year, it's 106. The next year, it's 99. The next year, it's 87. And you're like, okay, this is the gradual decline. And then it got better, 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 and they made 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. They won 2 of them. And it's like, hold on. He was declining, and then all of a sudden he hit a new peak.
That's why we're all gun-shy to say, like what you just said, no one wants to say, oh, we're at the decline, because we got to take a step back.
Because it looked like we were there. It looked like we were there. And then he suspended 4 games 1 year, and he throws 28 touchdowns and 2 interceptions on the season in his age 39 season, his age 40 season. They get to the Super Bowl and what is it? They have 400 yards passing. So Brady had the decline and then recovered to even greater heights. And so now what we're seeing, you don't know if he's going to have somehow a third act to his post-act career. That's why I think everyone's hesitant.
All right, we'll talk more about this coming up. But on the other side, a very disappointing season for the Eagles. Perhaps has hit rock bottom. We'll talk about that next on First Things First. Twin brothers defend their titles in a huge night of championship fights on Fox. PBC, December 22nd, only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Time now for stories to start your morning. Dwayne Haskins' NFL draft stock skyrocketed the last 3 weeks of the season, but the Buckeye quarterback says he's focused on Washington, and rightfully so. So he'll make his NFL draft decision after the Rose Bowl. See, what are your thoughts on that?
It's hard for college players to continue developing. I'd much rather see him stay in college another year, a lot like Mitch Trubisky. He had the big 1 year at North Carolina, decides to come out. The Bears take him, and as you can still see, he's still developing in the passing game. The NFL's not going anywhere, kids, especially from a quarterback standpoint. You can play until you're 38, 40. Take your time.
In your eyes, if he were to come out, is he at the top of the list of the draft eligible quarterbacks?
I mean, there's no quarterback in college better than him. No, those guys aren't. I wouldn't take him as my franchise quarterback.
All right, moving on. Big boost for the Chiefs tonight against the Chargers. We mentioned it earlier. All-pro safety Eric Berry returns for Kansas City for the first time since he ruptured his Achilles last season in the opener against the Patriots. Nick, how big of a deal is this for the Chiefs and for Barry?
Well, I'm very happy for Eric personally. This is a guy that came back from cancer to make first-team All-Pro, came back from a blown ACL to make first-team All-Pro, and now he's trying to come back from a torn Achilles. From talking to people in Kansas City, this has been about pain management all year long, and he is now going to try to gut through it to make a playoff push. I think just having Eric Berry out there is something of an upgrade, given it was Daniel Sorensen and company playing safety. But if he at any point this year gets back to the real Eric Berry, it transforms the secondary of the Chiefs.
Chiefs fans, I just would beware. Just be careful. It's more important that after this game, over that, he's got a mini bye because he got the extended week with playing on Thursday. Is he going to be available for the last two games? All right? That's more important than him playing tonight. All right. Can he sustain that? Can he get back on the practice field? I love Eric Berry. He's a great player, but I need to see him on the field. There hasn't been an NFL player miss a year and a half and then get on the field and be effective. I hope he can get to the playoffs and be healthy.
All right. Moving on to the NBA now. Big game for Anthony Davis last night. 44 points, 18 rebounds. And he went over the Thunder. See, what'd you think of the Brow last night?
Oh, he's special. Inside, outside. That's the reason why he's such a special player. That's why we think about him as being an MVP candidate. And that's why if he goes to Los Angeles with LeBron, that's LeBron's best way to get a championship because there is no matchup. Man, you got to go to outer space, all right? Mm-hmm. Ain't no one in the East, no one in the West can match up with the Brow. Special, special young player who just continues to get better.
Back-to-back 40-point games last night, in my eyes, the most impressive game of the season because of who he was up against. Not only the one seed in the West, but the number one defense in all of basketball in the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they had no answer for Anthony Davis. The only yeah but with him is health. If he can play 75 to 80 games, he's going to be a top three MVP guy, no question about it.
All right, finally, no Kawhi, no problem for the Toronto Raptors. Toronto beat the Warriors by 20 points last night, despite Kawhi being sidelined by a bruised hip. Kyle Lowry stepped up, 23 points, 12 assists. Steph Curry stepped down, just 10 points on 3 of 12 shooting. Nick, Raptors are 7-1 without Kawhi in the lineup this season. How impressive is that, along with the win over the Warriors last night?
You mentioned Steph. This was Steph's first legit bad game of the year. He's allowed to have one of those every 20 or so. He had been so good. Mm-hmm. But the big story last night is the Raptors. This game shocked me. For the Raptors, without their best player, to go into Oracle and win that game convincingly, when they're on a back-to-back, after beating the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, the Warriors are rested. I couldn't have seen this coming from 100 miles away, but it speaks to the progression of their players and the talent development. Kyle Lowry busted out of his shooting slump 2 days ago, continued that yesterday, and you are seeing the depth of the team. We talk about Boston having so much depth. I don't know that any team in the NBA, 1 through 10, has more quality guys. They can put out two different starting fives that are legitimate NBA starting fives. You saw that last year. They just didn't have the top level talent that they have this year, and they couldn't get over the mental block of LeBron. But this Raptors team is very legit, see, and what they did last night was as impressive a win as anybody's had in the NBA all year.
I tried to look for what did we miss, and what we didn't know, there were some unknowns as far as Kawhi to the general public. How healthy would he be? How would he get acclimated to this new team? Kawhi and his teammates are getting along great. I think it's very, very impressive for them to be as effective as they have been. This two-game road trip with the Clippers and the Warriors back-to-back to beat those two teams by the number of points they beat them without Kawhi, I believe, is impressive. Their younger players, how they would continue to develop, because we don't know. We don't know with coaching staffs. That's the big question with the Lakers. The Raptors players, they're developing. Those younger players, oh, man, they're developing.
Right.
Pascal and everything, you could see Durant and the Warriors struggle with his limp. Serge Ibaka, this is the best I've seen him offensively, and that's a credit to Nick Nurse. What's his specialty? His specialty in the NBA is designing offenses and running offenses. So if you look at the difference between him And Dwayne Casey, the last coach, Casey, defensive specialist, Nurse, offensive specialist. So you can see with Kawhi, without Kawhi, what they try to do offensively and spreading the ball, passing the ball is far more effective. So even though they've been the best record in the East, this team I thought was better because how they function offensively, I thought that would be easier to carry over once we got into late in the season and into the playoffs.
I just want to follow up on two names you said before you jump in, Janet. Serge Ibaka, I thought he was done. Serge Ibaka in the playoffs last year was borderline unplayable. His contract was looked at like an albatross, and all of a sudden he is playing the best basketball he's played since he was in Oklahoma City. And Pascal Siakam, his jump from a guy who they drafted to be a defender to being a legitimate offensive threat seemingly overnight between year two and three has been an absolute revelation. And do not...
He developed a lot like Kawhi Leonard. When they got Kawhi from San Diego, not tremendous expectations. Drafted him as a what?
What? Drafted him as defensive specialist, 15th pick.
And then you start to see Kawhi start dribbling the ball. Kawhi got a little jump shot, and that's what you're seeing, the same type of development there in Toronto with their young star.
I was just going to, and the guy that came over with Kawhi, Danny Green, what he adds for them spacing-wise, having a 40-plus percent knockdown shooter out there and what it opens up for the rest of their offense has been excellent for them as well.
I've been sitting here for weeks listening to you guys talk about how good Toronto is, how good their bench is, and clearly how good Kawhi Leonard is. Have we put an unfair cap on this Toronto team, you know, out of the East, maybe take out of the East off? Is it possible that they could go head-to-head with the Warriors?
I don't think anyone can beat the Warriors, and I do think it should be noted the Warriors are about to get an all-NBA-level center added to this basketball team. And Steph Curry's not going to have 3 of 12 nights. Like, Draymond Green's not always going to get in early foul trouble. But I do not – there is no shame in being the second-best team in the NBA in this year with this stacked Warriors team. And I think the Raptors are, at this moment, clearly the second-best team in the NBA.
I believe they're the second-best team. I believe it will be a better series than we've seen in the other series because of their overall depth. And Kawhi's ability to be able to go head-to-head with Durant. And then now Kawhi don't have to take him the whole game, all right? Because you got other young stars who have some length that they can put on him. I think Nick Nurse and the way they run their offense, Toronto is a serious contender. But right now, Golden State's only playing with 3 all-stars, all right? We talked about getting Cousins back. And, man, Draymond is not an all-star. He is not playing like an all-star. Only scored 2 points last night. His body language and how he's playing the game is not nearly where. So if he doesn't come out of what he's doing, they can get Draymond back. They would struggle with Toronto if Draymond continues to play at that level.
They were daring him to shoot. He finally took him up on it. He damn near missed the whole basket on one of them. Like, Draymond Green was never supposed to be a great shooter, but the year they won 73 games, you had to respect his shot. He now is worse than he was when he came into the league from the 3 ball, and that constricts them just a little bit.
All right, let's get back to football, talk some Eagles. Last year at this time, what were we talking about? We were talking about an 11-2 Eagles team, playoff bound, with Nick Foles at the helm because Carson Wentz had just gotten hurt. This year, Eagles are 6-7. Wentz is back from that injury, but it's been a very disappointing season, to say the least. And to make matters worse, a back issue is reportedly likely to keep Wentz out in a big matchup with the Rams Sunday night, and perhaps even the rest of the season. CeCe, how disappointing has this been for Wentz?
I'm not disappointed. I mean, this is a team sport. Carson Wentz has played as good as you can expect him to play. If you look at the wide receivers and the targets that he was going to have available for him, they were not what they expected. They have struggled with that. Mike Wallace, injured reserve. He's supposed to be their deep threat. Jeffrey struggled, injuries, come back late after a bad shoulders, had to make the trade for Golden Tate, couldn't create a lot of chemistry there. Nelson Aguilar went backwards as a wide receiver, didn't grow on what he did last year. The lack of a running attack, an offensive line that was the best in the league around the middle of the pack. So there's a lot of disappointment around him. I'm not disappointed with Carson Wentz and the way he's played.
Let me tweak the word from disappointment to concern. Like, what we have, one of the great things, maybe the greatest thing about the older generation of quarterbacks that is starting to age out of the league is their availability. Eli Manning, has never missed a game due to injury in his career.
Philip Rivers. Yeah, but Phillip, based on the way he's played the last few years, though, a lot of people wish he was.
Okay, sure. Fair enough. But Peyton Manning, hey, yeah, went the whole stretch, had the neck surgery, came back, didn't miss a game due to injury until his final year. Brady has the 1 year with the blown knee. That's it. You mentioned Philip Rivers. Russell Wilson, who's not the older generation, he's never missed time. How much of Carson Wentz's last year at North Dakota State broke his wrist. His first year in the league had cracked ribs. Last year, obviously, the devastating knee injury. And now this year, they're potentially shutting down for the season with 3 weeks left because of a back issue. How concerning is that to you?
It's not concerning at all, because I believe if they were in the top of the playoff, that he'd be playing. I believe that they realize the chance of making the playoffs are very, very slim, and there's no need to put him out there with that offensive line. I believe that to be the case. So, no, I'm not concerned. And I wouldn't compare him to those quarterbacks, because those quarterbacks are very, very rare. But if you go through those same – I'll take you through all those plays Carson Wentz got hurt on. You tell me another quarterback. That play at North Dakota State, he got the broken wrist. Well, you can't stop a broken bone. You put any other quarterback in there when he's going into the end zone against the Rams. What happens? They're going to get shattered. They're going to break. So those injuries are normal. What about Aaron Rodgers? We don't complain about him. He had a couple cracked collarbones, right?
Mm-hmm. No, so but I think
it's a part of the game. You cannot avoid broken bone. So, no, I don't have a problem with him moving forward as my franchise quarterback or worrying, can he stay healthy?
So, the clarification, or I guess difference I have with you there, is that they're a half game out of the playoffs. They're done for the division. But they absolutely, if they go 3-0 down the stretch, they're a favorite to make the playoffs. And so if he misses this week, which is essentially a must-win game for them, to me that is a significant, it's not just precautionary. They're not sitting there where it's like, well, the season's over for us. And so
okay, so what's your worry? What are you going to do?
My concern is this. I think that part of what made Carson Wentz has made him special is his ability to extend plays, his ability to deal with a pass rush, shake a guy off, roll out, and either run the football or fire it downfield. If he starts to be a guy that you have to be more cautious with, that he starts to play more cautious, part of what has made him special, to me, part of what has made him, barring injury, a no-doubter, if you remove that part from his game, I think it puts a ceiling on his effectiveness.
But who said he was going to do that? We're just going to bake that one in. Carson Wentz is getting ready to change and start to play timid.
Well, so if that's what I was asking you about your level of concern. If in back-to-back years can't get through a season because of
I
injury.
I just haven't seen NFL players that say, hey, I'm concerned about getting injured, I'm going to slow down. Like, I've only seen people on TV say that guys are going to be that way, but guys don't.
Haven't we said that about Andrew Luck, that he has to adjust the way he plays so he doesn't take as many hits, so he isn't injured? I mean, isn't that something we've talked about with Coach Mangini a lot?
Look at Andrew Luck's injuries compared to Carson Wentz. They're not the same. What Andrew Luck got hurt trying to extend the play. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz didn't get hurt trying to extend the play. Carson Wentz has adjusted his game. He does not have the support. And let's just go with the quarterback room that changed. All right? Mike Groh, his offensive coordinator. Do you know what Mike Groh's specialty is?
No.
Oh, okay. He used to be a backup quarterback in college. He coached wide receivers, and now he's an offensive play caller in the NFL. So we've seen Carson Wentz lose his quarterback coach, lose his offensive coordinator in Frank Wright, and we think that's not going to affect him, and he doesn't have a running game. Those are the things that affected Carson Wentz the most this season, and those are the things I'm more concerned about compared to Carson Wentz. Is he my franchise quarterback, and is he going to change or adjust to the NFL and the contact?
How much of what you've seen from the Eagles is because Carson Wentz?
Oh, I think I'm not concerned about his numbers at all. I'm not concerned about his level of play at all. Yeah, you're talking about the issues with the Eagles this year. I don't lay any of that at the feet of Carson Wentz. He's putting up statistically the same profile year as he did last year, and last year he was going to be the MVP. I think he's an awesome player. Of all the young quarterbacks, aside from Mahomes, he'd be the guy I'd want more than anyone if you can tell me he's going to be healthy. He's also of all the
young quarterbacks. Who can we tell right now, the young quarterback? No, we know they're going to be healthy. Give me one.
You can never say that, but if the end of my sentence was, but he's also the young quarterback, other than Deshaun Watson, that I'm most concerned about. If you're asking about his ability to stay healthy, like those two guys, I know how good they can be. I also know they have, to me, what is starting to be a concerning injury trend. And if he misses the rest of this year, that will...
I mean, we don't even know what his injury is now. We don't know if he has a sore back. We don't know if he's got a herniated disc in his back. Like, right now, he's got a sore back. And there's 32 starting quarterbacks. I believe 30 of them right now at this point in the season, week 15, they have a sore back. If they decide to err on the side of caution and keep him out of the game, they are doing the right thing long term. If we could start a franchise today and we start having a draft, Carson Wentz is going to be in them first three picks of. So I'm not concerned. It is a contact sport, and the things that he's gotten injured, oh, broken wrist. What can stop that? Nothing. All right, torn ligaments, trying to get into the end zone. What can stop that? Nothing. What can stop having a sore back in the league? Nothing. It's all part of younger players developing that overall grit that it takes to carry them throughout their career. So I still got hell of confidence in Carson Wentz.
All right, the news this morning, Carson Wentz will not be playing as the Eagles face the Rams this weekend. Coming up, is the winner of tonight's game the best team in the NFL? We'll talk some Thursday Night Football next on First Things First. Welcome back to First Things First. We're now joined by Pro Bowl linebacker Bart Scott. Bart's here. What's up, Bart?
Can't complain.
Don't complain.
You tried to destroy my show last Friday. You were in. I wasn't in here to keep you under control.
You
need a traffic cop. Y'all on the radio or something, just sitting going back and forth. Yeah.
I'm just living my best life.
See, was sending notes from afar.
Go.
We'll get to Lamar Jackson in a second, but first, check out a couple of highlights presented by Geico. Was this perhaps an NBA championship preview? Raptors, Warriors, KD driving, posterizes Serge Ibaka with the big slam. See?
They're going against definitely the best team in the East. I know Nick had other plans and everything. We're only in December, but
Toronto is the one seed.
Toronto going to be there in the end. They're going to be in the NBA Finals. They're the best team in the East. They match up well, even without Kawhi. Jenna, you talked this morning. You were shocked. Man, they've been so successful without Kawhi. 8 games without him, have 7 victories.
All right, Mavs Hawks, Luka Doncic sliding over to help on defense, rejects Trae Young.
Listen, Trae's been fine this year, but this is, and we said it at the time, a trade that could haunt the Hawks. Like, the fact that Luka was available at 3 when he shouldn't have been, he was. You had the opportunity to take him. Instead, they flip it for Trae and a future pick. Luka's playing so well, that future pick they got from Dallas might not be as good as the Hawks thought it was going to be. He is going to run away with Rookie of the Year.
Atlanta will still be a football city based on the way the team drafts.
And Philly, TJ McConnell lobbing it up to Ben Simmons for the alley-oop.
I don't know how I feel about this Ben Simmons headband look. I know you spent some time with him. See, I think the game you saw was the last game he played without the headband. I don't know that I love the headband look, Philly. This is, by the way, that's a terrible loss for Philly. They'd been 14-1 at home. To lose a close game to Brooklyn at home.
Man, if he learns how to shoot, he can wear a hoodie. He can wear I don't care what he wear out there on the court.
Watch
how to shoot.
This. Oak Ridge High School in Orlando. Niven Glover throwing down the insane 360 through the legs.
Okay, I hear Penny Hardaway at Memphis is after him. A couple other schools after him with offers. This is the nastiest high school dunk, in-game dunk I have seen. Ooh, between the legs.
We've seen that dunk win.
180. Not a 360, a 180.
270 maybe.
Look.
When
he stops and jumps, he already turned facing the other basket.
It's a three-quarter spin. Three-quarter spin, see?
Oh, right. Yeah, just like the moon landing.
The moon landing.
Let's go back to football. Moving on to the Baltimore Ravens. They made it official. Lamar Jackson will be their true number one quarterback. That means Joe Flacco will be their true number one backup. The Ravens have gone 3-1 with the 22-year-old rookie under center. Their one-dimensional offense might not set them up for long-term success, but in the short term, it's keeping them in the playoff race. Lamar Jackson met the media after the decision was made.
It's common for a starting quarterback to call his team, it's my team. Are you able to say that, ready to say that? This is your team?
It's our team, all of us together. It's our team. I don't go out there and block. You know, I don't go out there and catch the ball. I don't make tackles. You know, I just do my part. It's all our team.
So you see the Ravens making the right call, going with Lamar Jackson?
That's the only call they got. That's the only way offensively they're going to be able to be effective. With Joe Flacco, we know their limits. We know that Joe Flacco, eventually it was going to come to this, of course. Anytime, as a player, man, they draft someone, stronger, faster, eventually he's going to take your spot. Lamar Jackson is the future of the quarterback, if he is a starting quarterback in the league, because that's another question. But, yes, this is the right move for them moving forward. The team has momentum. They play a style for which they can survive with this running attack and him being a part of it. Limited passing. All right, I'm not going to challenge them down the field. I'm not going to throw a bunch of interceptions. Yeah, that's the best way for the Ravens to be able to get into the playoffs and try to advance in the playoffs. As you could see, they looked at Kansas City, had the lead in that part, nick and tuck back and forth in that game for a long time. I like the way that they went about that game plan. And in that game plan, they show they can face anyone in the league with Lamar Jackson. Yes, they should stay with Lamar.
I like teams that have a plan, execute the plan, stick with the plan. The plan when they drafted Lamar was, if Flacco's ineffective, if we're not playing well, or as this was the case, he gets dinged, we are going to go with Lamar Jackson and see how he goes. Flacco was really good in week one. And since week one has been was bad and the team was bad. After that dominating, I think, 48-3 victory over Buffalo, they were 3-5. He had 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, an 80 passer rating. It was time to see what Lamar could do. And what we have seen with them is what Lamar adds as a runner, and he's not turning the ball over at a super high rate because they're not letting him throw the ball that much. They are a better football team. If you're the Ravens, look at it from their opponent's perspective. They have Tampa and the Chargers and Cleveland in their final 3 games. Who are those teams hoping they would start at quarterback? Who are those teams more optimistic about their chance of their starting a quarterback? It's Flacco. They know how to game plan for Flacco. They know what his limitations are. Like, do what your opponent hopes you don't do, especially when there's the upside of we spent a first-round pick on this guy, giving him chance to develop in big game situations with the Ravens a half game out of the divisional lead in the AFC North. Like, to me, it would have been shocking if they had gone back to Joe Flacco.
I'm not making a case for Flacco, but maybe the next 3 opponents are okay opponents for this team to beat as a semi one-dimensional offense. But could this be a long-term solution for the Baltimore Ravens? Eventually, teams are going to figure out how to stop him.
No, it's not a long-term solution. If they can't throw the ball, they will be at best a .500 team. I don't care how good their defense is. Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator, man, he has been brilliant. He's going to have to come up with some touchdowns. All right, that defense is going to have to score a touchdown. When you cannot throw the ball, it's always going to be challenging. And with Lamar and the way they design plays now, they have no confidence in his arm because I see how they call the plays. Now, they might be able to make it through this season, but that's the reason why you draft him at the end of the first round. That's the reason why he's not in the top round, all right? It's challenging as far as him reading the coverages, delivering the ball in anticipation, and that will continue until when? No one knows that.
Right. In order for him to be a successful starting quarterback, he has to drastically improve his throwing ability. And so, like,
aren't we just putting a Band-Aid on the Ravens right now? Like, just get through this season and then we'll sort of figure it out?
What's the other option?
Well, I don't know what the other option is. I'm just
right.
Asking.
So you're going like what you're doing is they understand that Lamar Jackson is not a fully formed quarterback and might never be a fully formed quarterback. There's a reason he was a project, and as Steve mentioned, there's a reason as a Heisman Trophy winner he was available with the final pick of the first round. But with Joe Flacco, their offense might have more dimensions, but it's not better. Like, Flacco is limited enough as a passer right now and non-existent as a runner that if you have the benefit of our running game and defense is playing great and we're going to get this guy experience and in the offseason, we will see how much he develops. That's why, to me, it's a no-brainer. And they've won as many games in the month with Flacco as they had, Lamar in the previous 2 months with Flacco.
Right. Absent the price you have to pay for Flacco, that organization is not like, we got the right guy. He's in the developmental stages. They're trying to be patient with him. They realize the cookies, even though the cookies say, man, you can take him out in 14 to 16 minutes. No, you need to look in there because right now he's gooey. All right? Unless you want gooey, ooey cookies that can make you sick to your stomach, that's the only way that you can continue to move on with Lamar Jackson. You have to understand, I need explosive players outside. Right. They need to be able to draft some guys who can run some reverses to go sideways to be able to make him effective. But you are right. It is a Band-Aid for now, but that's what a lot of teams do. Flacco is at the end of his career. Lamar Jackson is at the beginning of his career. We can have more patience then because we've already given our patience to Flacco. Flacco's already won the franchise a Super Bowl. So right now, We need to appropriate our patience to Lamar Jackson and realize football is going to be played a different way. Change the way you look at it, because they can win a lot of games as good as they are special teams wise and as good as they are defensively with Lamar at the quarterback currently.
And can they win playoff games in this setup?
I mean, they're going to have a if they get
almost
a home
just
game,
beat Kansas
yeah,
City.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to have the same exact. That's what
yes.
I was going
to
say.
Or their defense is going to learn how to score
yes.
a touchdown.
A great, great defense, dominant running game. They will be. Can they win three in a row, make the Super Bowl? No, but can they beat anybody if
that
they play the way they did?
Has
Kansas
never
City?
Had a great offense. Every time they've won and won big, they've done it with defense. So, yes, they can do it again with Lamar Jackson.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.